Good morning, good morning. Glad you guys are here. Let's shout out right away. What do we do?
We love God
and we love others. And what do we say? I love God and I love you. Man, this week we're continuing in our series, How Big Is Your Butt? And I get the final week. We do have a guest speaker in a couple of weeks. It's Pastor Jason will be speaking with us to round out some of our pastors getting that chance to share, but not today. This week I'll be sharing with us. And as I was preparing, I stumbled across an article that interviewed bosses in workplaces about what are some of the craziest excuses employees tried to give you for reasons they were late. And so there was just like there was a huge list of like all these crazy things. So I picked a couple of these ones that I thought were pretty interesting excuses for why people said they were late. One employee gave the excuse that they couldn't come in on time because their llama wouldn't stop barfing. So that's so weird. Like, I don't even. So I guess, yeah, you should probably take care of that. So that was a weird one. And another person said that he accidentally ate cat food instead of tuna, and then he got sick because he made a cat food sandwich instead of a tuna fish sandwich, and so he couldn't come in because he wasn't feeling well. Believable. It's probably a single young male. You know, I can see that totally happening. One of my favorites. This one guy claimed he couldn't come in. I think it's probably true, because he said when he was driving to work, his false teeth flew out because he had the window open, so he was like singing or something. His false teeth flew out, so he couldn't come to work on time that day as he was driving down the highway. That was a pretty fantastic one. One lady called and said she was experiencing traumatic stress from a large spider that she had found in her apartment, and she had to stay home to like deal with the spider and then deal with the stress. And I can relate. My daughter freaks out over the tiny spiders, so I can see someday my daughter may call into work late because she encountered a spider and she couldn't get in her car or something because it was like on the door handle. So real stuff. One employee said that he had to go to the ER because his kid jammed a mint up his nose. Not up the kid's nose, but up the dad's nose. So, you know, there's like a kid's get stuff trapped there, but the dad was like... And if you have little kids, you're like, been there. Yeah, I've had fingers in my nose and all sorts of stuff, right? So you had to go to the ER to get that removed. And this is my personal favorite. The person said, I woke up in a great mood, and I didn't want to ruin it. So I didn't. I think that person's probably fired. That was the last day that they worked at that particular company. Excuses, butt after butt after butt. And then we've been seeing over the last 2 weeks a bunch of big butts. We saw Moses saying like, who am I to do this? And, but I don't have the skill set, but I'm not able to speak, but I don't know, have all the answers. And then he ended up with, but I just don't want to. We saw that just a couple of weeks ago. And last week we saw Jonah had his list of butts where he's like, but I don't want to do what you want, God. I want the opposite thing. God, I don't want them to get saved. God, but I'm angry, but I'm disappointed, and I'm a little bit selfish, and I'm worried that they may attack my people, and all this kind of stuff that Jonah had all these butts, and we saw that last week. And wasn't that a joy to watch Pastor Trevor, you guys? That was like, I really enjoyed it. You know, at Jericho Road Church, like, he had been around church for a long time, but part of his testimony is he gave his life fully to Jesus while at Jericho Road Church just about 4 years ago. And so what a legacy that our church is already creating. And so fantastic. It was fun to watch him. And I say, like, we've got some great preaching going on. I know y'all ask me, like, when's Pastor Peter coming all the time? Like, everyone's like, when's Pastor Peter coming? He's really busy. That's why he can't. I say the same thing. I'm like, Pastor Peter, when are you coming? You know, like once every 3 weeks, would that be good? And he says, no. And then once every 6 weeks, he says, no. And so he's pretty busy doing his stuff. And he'll be back. We'll see him soon enough. And in 2 weeks, we're going to see Pastor Jason again. He's shared before. And it's so cool to have amazing preaching at this church. And it's really exciting, powerful stuff. But this week, you're stuck with me. So, wah, 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 as we finish up our series here, How Big Is Your Butt? So we're going to look at one final excuse, one major excuse that people use all the time for why they can't do the things that God's asking them to do. And that excuse is their age. Oftentimes, people blame their age for why they can't do something. Either you're too young to do it, or you feel like you're too old to do what God's asking from us. And so here we go. By show of hands, How many of you consider yourself old? Who thinks that I, you know, I'll be honest, I think I'm old. You know, I know I'm not ancient old. I'm not like, you know, fossil old yet, but no, I'd say I'm old. Okay? How many of you consider yourself young? See, okay, some of you consider yourself young. So the rest of you are, you're just in the middle ground, and that's okay, you know. If you don't feel old or you don't feel young, then this sermon has nothing to do with you. Because you don't have any excuse today for why you're not doing the thing God calls you to do, right? So I'm only talking to the people who have this excuse of their age. So if you're in that middle ground, no excuse at all. You absolutely should be doing everything that God calls you to do. Fantastic, good job, carried on, you know, that kind of stuff. And so today, we're going to see the age excuse in Sarah and Jeremiah's life, who have opposite but equally big butts. So let's deal with the problem one butt at a time. Old butts first, okay? So this is Sarah in Genesis. And Sarah's married to a famous guy named Abraham, if you're not familiar. In Genesis 18, some angels show up and they're talking to Abraham and Sarah. Well, talking to Abraham and Sarah's listening in. And they say, where's your wife, Sarah? They asked him being Abraham. And he's like, oh, they're in the tent, he says. And then one of them says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah, they were already very old. Abraham's over 100. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. You know how that goes if you're older. So Sarah laughed like to herself, and she's like, after I'm all worn out, and my Lord, like my husband, he's all old, like, now we're going to have that pleasure? She's like, no way. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now, Sarah was afraid, and she lied, and she's like, well, I didn't laugh. And he said, yeah, you did laugh. Stop that, you know, don't be crazy. So here we have God giving a call and a promise to Sarah, yet she thinks she's too old. Like, her time has passed. She's like, this is how it works. I'm old and I'm not useful for the thing that God is asking for me. So I'm not able to do that even. She said, my body can't do that. And even though God has given her the call and the promise, she says, I am too old for that. Maybe, she said, maybe when I was younger, that would have been possible. Maybe that was a dream that I had, because she hadn't had any kids her whole life. She says, maybe that's a dream that I had when I was younger, but I don't have that dream anymore. How easy is it for this excuse to creep into our thinking as we get older? And those of you that admitted to being older, and some of our folks that are online who have admitted to being older, how easy is for that to just kind of creep in? Yeah, I can't go on missions. My back hurts, my sinus, my this. We sort of start to say, I'm too old for that kind of stuff. Without even realizing it, we can allow this excuse to start to dominate our reality. We can allow it to block God's call and use it to ignore his working and his desire in our own lives. But maybe we ought to just reject that excuse. Like this lady. I have a video of this lady. Let's check her out real fast.
The woman known as Mighty Mo is a legend to everyone but herself.
So how many awards have you won now?
I have no idea.
You lost count.
I never counted.
We counted. Among senior master swimmers, she's earned 14 world championship gold medals, has set 28 world records, and was recently inducted into the International Swimming Hall of Fame, all in a career that began at age 65.
That sounds crazy.
I would probably was and is.
A child of the Depression, Maureen was told, good girls don't play sports. Well, look at her now.
Courage.
This late-in-life hobby also inspires her new family of teammates.
All her awards came after she started swimming at age 65. Incredible. Momofuku Ando, he invented instant ramen at age 48. All like instant ramen. Ray Kroc started his first McDonald's at age 52. Harlan Sanders, a.k.a. Colonel, franchised KFC when he was 62 years old. Now, I don't know the spiritual status of those folks, but if they're able to do amazing and great things in the latter part of their lives, how much more is available for those of us who follow Christ? If some guy can start Colonel Sanders at KFC, which we've all had some KFC and everybody loves some KFC, he did it when he was 62. And I don't even know if he's a believer, if he trusted God or not, but those of us that do, if he can do that, why can't we do that? Sarah thought she was too old to receive God's miracle of parenthood. But we know that with God, we can expect the miraculous. See, your age is only an excuse if God isn't real or God doesn't exist. But if God exists, then he can do anything despite your age. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're never too old to step into God's promises. You are never too old to be used by God mightily. And you're never too old to be useful in the kingdom of God. There was a pastor named Pastor Stearns at age 49. So he was pastoring a church. At age 49, God said, I want you to plant churches. Now, normally church plants are done by young people because they got a lot of energy and they're about 60, 40, 70, 30 likelihood of failing. And so old guys are like, nah. And I know better than to do that. But God called him to start planting churches. Now, the guy had a church of only 20 people. So we got like five times bigger church. But God called him to start planting people. And so over the next 16 years, this Pastor Stearns guy would, anytime people would come to the church, they would get saved, he would start to mentor them, and then he would send them out to plant churches. So in the next 16 years of his pastorate, they planted 42 daughter churches out of this tiny church of 20 people. And then over the next 50 years, that's where the guy passes away, but over the next 50 years, over 1,000 churches traced their roots back to this guy's 20-person church. And he started it when he was 50. I wonder if like people are like, dude, your church is too small and you're too old. What are you doing? I wonder if there were haters in his life where he thought, telling him that he's too old to do the work of church planting. And I thank God that he didn't listen to them, but he rather followed God instead. Look, as older believers, God has allowed you to be in this incredible place of possibility. You're like ripe for valuable contribution to God's kingdom. And ripe's like a good word, right? You know, when the fruit gets ripe, it gets a little softer on the edges, right? So you are, and I am, as I put my hand up for older, ripe for God's possibilities. Being older is a perfect time to ask God, what do you want in the second half of my life? Is there a second career that you want me to follow that honors you? It's a wonderful time to dream again and to sort of take a step to, a chance to step out in faith, maybe again or maybe for the first time, where you say, okay, I did this life, but God, what do you have next for me? What's the next thing that you got for me, even as an older person? A couple of weeks ago, I was in small group, and we were doing those life maps in small group, and Charles mentioned he sees life in three waves, learning, living, and then giving. And he says, as he moves into his third phase of life, this idea of giving. And that really struck me as super powerful as older folks move into the last part of their life. One of the things God calls them to do is to be giving. And it's not just resources we're talking about, because that's not even the best thing that you can give. But God allows older people to give wisdom and to give love and prayer support, to give mentorship, to give resources. The older you get, it's more likely that you do have resources. And so I really like that sort of idea that Charles was sharing, and especially in light of believers stepping out as they get older to become powerful givers for God's kingdom. And so I was thinking about it in terms of like our reality here at Jericho Road Church. And one thing that older folks can give is wisdom. And I was thinking about when Josh is just one of our older members. Sorry, Josh, if you're watching online, but he's the older member. And just a couple of years, he's not a pastor, he's not anybody, but a couple of years when I was out on missions, he came up and gave the message. He's not an ordained pastor, but he's got a lot of life wisdom, and when he shared it, it was powerful, and he had something to share with them because he's lived a life. And it's not a pastor's life, but pastors aren't the only people that are following God. Josh Cho in his life, that God has brought him all through this, he's following God too, and he was able to share that, the wisdom that God had given him. As we get older, we have this ability to share mentorship with younger people. How many of our young moms have gained support and key advice from Sil Joe in our church, literally right here? I saw one or two claps. And it's funny, we were in, again, small group yesterday, and we were talking about prayer requests, and we're closing it up, and we have three, I think, younger moms in there, and Syl's in our group as well, and she was just sharing all evening this kind of idea, and I knew I was going to say her name here, and so I was like, and she was doing exactly what, she's not doing it after I say her name, she was doing it before she knew I was going to say her name this morning. She was pouring into these young ladies saying, oh, that's a really hard time, don't worry about it, God's got you, blah, 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 you know, you're just pouring into them these blessings of mentorship, and then at the end we're like, okay, who's going to pray? And she's like, I'll pray. And she prayed for the prayer request that we had given, and then she goes, but really what I want to pray is for these moms who are in it right now with young kids, and they're on my heart. And she's like praying this thing, and I'm like, dude, that's sermon gold. Praise God also for these women. Pray. Thank you, God. Thank you. I was not distracted in my prayer at all. Don't worry. I was fully agreeing with her and also blessing God for the powerful mentorship that she has. Like that just comes with age. And it's necessary in a church, and it's necessary in our people's lives. Older folks have resources to be able to give as well. Our believers gave thousands of dollars just last month to buy a family who needed a car. We've given thousands of dollars over the last 3 years in college scholarship money. I bet you there's some young folks here who have received some of that college scholarship. Anyone? Even in our room, we have 4 or 5 hands right here who have received some of the scholarship money that you have so generously donated. I mean, they didn't have any, they don't got money, they're broke college kids. And you have generously donated and done that and blessed them this way. You can be givers of prayer. Eventually, there'll be some time where some of us will be stuck in the house. There may be a time in our life as we get older where we become bedridden and we aren't able to maybe attend as many events. But what an incredible time when you can't do anything else, where you can sit and just pray. And God gives you this incredible opportunity. If you get, I'll say, an opportunity to be bedridden. I know it seems like something that's a curse or something that's like horrible or from the enemy. But what if it's that chance to be the most powerful prayer person our church has? See, it's a perfect opportunity to be a prayer warrior. When my kids... Second-generation churches don't have a lot of old people. And I've pastored a lot of church plants tend to be young. I pastored 2 or 3 church plants in my life. And my kids didn't really grow up with a ton of grandparents in the church. And one time we were visiting a church in Oregon. And we got up there on a Friday. We met with these leadership people. We were actually applying there before we had taken this job. And we met with the leadership people. And one of the leadership people was this older lady. I can't exactly remember her name. I'll call her Jane because I can't remember her name. And then she's like, when we met her on Friday, she told my kids, she's like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Call me Grandma Jean. And they were like, okay, Grandma Jean or whatever. And they met her. And she was like super nice. And she talked to my kids in a way that I don't talk to my kids. She talked to my kids in a way that my peers at the time, you know, I was a little bit younger, you know, 5, 6, 8, 7 years ago, that my peers don't talk to my kids. She talked to them like a grandparent talks to them. And it was a dynamic that I hadn't, I saw it in my own family because my parents were alive at the time, but I hadn't seen it in a church dynamic. And that I thought was really interesting. And then we came on Sunday. And so we show up at that church on Sunday, and Grandma Jean comes over, and she goes, hi, do you remember me? And they're like, yeah, Grandma Jean. And my kids were excited to see her. And I thought that was so weird because they're never excited to see me, and they're not that excited to see our friends that are at church. But when they saw Grandma Jean, something lit up in them. I don't know how it is that she approached them, just differently. And Grandma Jean had her bag, and you know what she pulled out? She said, I got you this little present yesterday. Give it to Kayla. I got you this present. Gave one to Ethan and one to Andrew, like candy or something. I gave him a little toy or a candy or something. And I was like, that is so powerful. And I hadn't seen it that much because, you know, from young church plant and second generation doesn't have a ton of old folks yet. Here we got more and more. But I want to encourage you, as you get more and more older and you step into that role of grandparenting, that is a critical function in this church and necessary. So don't you dare try to feel like you don't fit in or you don't belong or it's too young or you see all these families. You are necessary. At Jericho Road Church, you will not be sidelined or marginalized because of your age. You are a necessary part for a healthy and functioning church. So just like old age is no excuse, neither is lack of age. This is from Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I'll rescue you, declares the Lord. So God tells Jeremiah, shut your face, basically, right? He's like, but I'm good. And, you know, he argued with Moses. Maybe Moses is older. We learned that. Maybe he had to have an argument. Jeremiah was like, but I'm too young. He's like, shut up. You know, just go do what I told you to do. And Jeremiah's like, all right. So your excuse of youth doesn't fly with me, God says. God reminds him that his provision accompanies his call. Did you hear what God said? God said to him, he goes, look, I'm calling. It doesn't matter if you're too young. I'm going to send you and I'll speak through you and I will work in you. You must go and say this. Don't be afraid, for I am with you and I will rescue you. When God's call comes in your life, his provision comes in your life as well. If you don't find any provision in your life, then he probably didn't call you to that thing. You know, like that's a pretty good marker. If God calls you out, then he's going to provide for you and you can step out in faith on that one, young people. Keep this thought close if you're a younger person trying to figure out what God wants you to do. Check out this short clip of a young Nigerian boy singing for peace for his entire nation in the face of violence and some of the tragedies that they're facing in Nigeria. So check this clip out. I like this kid. I watch him a bunch online, and he's always singing worship songs and that sort of stuff. And it strikes me not only because of his talent, which I like, but also that he has the audacity that he thinks that he can, like, create a song to somehow tell, shalom means peace to you, shalom to Nigeria. So that's a Hebrew word in Nigeria to a Nigerian people. And he's singing over these people. And they're not a majority Christian nation or nothing, but he's singing this over his people. He's about, I think, 13, 14 years old here. That he has the audacity to speak peace into his nation? And who does he think he is? Like, someone so young, they can't possibly make a difference. Like, who cares what this kid says? See, that's lies. It's lies to think that this kid can't make a difference. He absolutely can make a difference. And it matters that he's singing this song of peace over his nation. It matters that he would step out in faith and do that. It matters that he would, who's thinking about like singing peace over their nation? Here this kid is. Look, you're never too young to be a powerful voice for God. Pastor Trevor's 22 years old. He spoke last week to our adult church. If you are at all blessed by that, understand that young people have a voice. There's a powerful voice. We've worshiped for years under Brandon, when he was probably, 18 when he started, and to 22, and I love it. Brandon came back and played the drum on his day he visited back from college, and the day he visits, we put him right back to work. He jumps in with a smile. He's got a voice for God. It doesn't matter how young he is. You're never too young to take huge responsibility. Well, we saw last week Isaiah, 14-year-old kid in our booth, he's taking responsibility over the worship of all of our church and the adults here. He's mixing the sound. He was doing that last year when he was 13. Not young. He took responsibility to take care of the... Without that, there's no sound. You know how that video works without any sound? not that good. He's not even in the booth. That was Drew today, so don't even blame Isaiah. Then last week he jumped up on the bass. He had never played the bass before in service, and he led us in worship. And you guys, I can't play the instruments by myself, even if I wanted to. I don't actually literally have the ability to. And without these folks, I can't worship God like how I want. I want to scream out, and I want to sing out, and I can't do it by myself. I can. It just sounds terrible. And they turn up the volume, and I sound wonderful in my own head when they do. I love it. Taking responsibility for the souls of us at 13 or 14 years old. You're never too young to be used by God mightily. Never too young. In my life, I want to share just a couple of stories of young people who really impacted me. When I first started to follow God, I was teaching. Someone asked me to come teach a children's group, but I didn't want to, but I felt obligated to come sit in the class. And then so I sat in the class for 1 and 2 weeks, and then they're like, okay, you're the teacher now. But I didn't want to be the teacher. I didn't try to be the teacher. I just had begun my faith journey only after like a month or 2 months of following Jesus. And I was going to quit. And so there was this barbecue that all church picnic we had, and I went out and I went there because I had sat in the classroom, but none of the college kids were there yet. You know, when I was in college, because they had service still. But I had ended up over at this barbecue thing, and I didn't know anyone. This was a Korean church, all Korean people, and me. And I think Jerome was somewhere, but Jerry's dad, but he was back with the college group, right? And so I didn't know anyone. I was like all alone. So I just like sat down and I was like, I am so quitting teaching like today. Like today's the last day in my heart. So I sat down and I was like, I'm so quitting because this is so embarrassing and awkward and I don't know what to do. And this kid named Randy, now he's Rand. He used to be Randy. But this kid Randy Cho walks up. He's 12 years old or, you know, 11 or 12 years old. And he sits down by me and he goes, oh, you don't have any food. He goes, hey, come eat at my parents. They have food. So he come over. Grab food, come down, and then so I got food, and then I sat down, and he came and sat by me. His friends were all playing around and doing stuff, but he didn't. He came and sat where I was, and I was like, what an incredible young person. And then I got to talk to him, and it became one of my favorite young people, and I said, okay, I'll go back and teach next week because of Randy. And then from teaching, then I became the assistant children's pastor, and then I ultimately became a pastor. But if I had quit that at that moment, it would have been a different path even if I did follow God to become a pastor, because it really came out of this teaching that I was doing. So powerful, this 11 or 12-year-old person. Then fast forward maybe 15 years. I've been pastoring for 15 years, and after a while even pastors sometimes get discouraged, and I was in this time where, I don't know, it was just, you know, dry time in life, hard time spiritually, even as a pastor, and I was speaking at a VBS, and, you know, you're supposed to be so spiritual and Christ-like and stuff, and I was trying, you know, but I was super discouraged one day, and I was sitting there. I had to give the message after this worship set or whatever, so I sit down, and I was just totally out of it. I was, you know, just not feeling it at all, and I'm just sitting there like this during worship, and this kid named Jonathan reaches over in the middle, and kids don't do this if you know kids. He reached over, and he grabbed my hand, and he held my hand for an entire song, and I was like, what on earth is going on? Like, I was like, wait, that's so weird. But then I was so blessed. And then after the song, he let go. And then he's a great kid. Talked to him a little bit at the VBS. And that was my whole life's interaction with this kid. And I remember it. Now it's been 15 or 20 years since then, maybe 10, 15 years. And it was so powerful to encourage me at this moment that I was discouraged. And so from these couple of young people, I've been pastoring almost 30 years now. That's an impact of ministry. But without them, do I quit 15 years ago? Do I even get started 30 years ago? If I'm sitting at the park and, you know, I'm like, forget this, I'm out of here. And I, you know, tell the lady, hey, quit or whatever. And I continue in whatever I was doing. And I go to this totally different path. The impact that you as a young person can have on the people around you is incredible, and it's lasting, and it's lifelong. Apostle Paul gives this reminder to his spiritual son, Timothy. He gives him this encouragement. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but rather set an example for believers in speech and in conduct and love and faith and in purity. until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. God has filled you young people with passion and energy to go hard for His kingdom, to make a difference, to help transform lives. You have incredible, tremendous opportunities and options open to you if you'll just seek God. Just seek His desires in your life. Seek His purpose and know that you are not too young to do the things of God. You are not too young to do His work in your school, in business, in life, in church. You're not too young. At Jericho Road Church, you will not be sidelined or marginalized because of your age. You are necessary for a healthy, functioning church. Young people, you're necessary. Age is not a limiter for God's work. You are the perfect age right now. This is the only time you'll get to be the age you are. This is it. You get one pass one time at this age, and this is the only time you'll be in the circumstances you're in with the people that are around you. This is your only time. And so you better not say like, oh, in the future I'll do. And if you're on this side of it, oh, I wished I had in the past. This is the time that you have right now in your life. Take advantage of that reality. Be available for God's miraculous, supernatural work in your life to be able to be used to bless His kingdom people. Look, you need to experience God in your now. Not waiting for the future, not reminiscing about the past, but walking with God now. Living for God now. Listening to God's voice now. Now, following His call for your life now, not waiting till you're older. We're not wishing you were younger. This is your now, today. We're going to close here in worship. And so would you guys just stand up with me as our worship team gets ready right here. We're going to close in worship together and really ask God to let this be our now. Whatever place you are, whatever age you are, this is your now. You're a perfect age to be used by God today.